I want to start, first of all, by telling you thank you so much for all the cards, the encouragements that you've given me, the support that Avery and I have received over this past weekend. Many of you know that my grandfather passed away last weekend. Last weekend was kind of a roller coaster of emotions because at the same time, we were already planning to go to Baton Rouge for Friday and Saturday because her Avery's brother, Nathan is his name, he was getting married. And so it turned out, timing actually, God is good, timing was so perfect that we were able to go to Baton Rouge for the wedding. Her brother is married, it was successful, and then we were able to go up to West Monroe to be there for the memorial of my grandfather. And so for those who don't know, he had Parkinson's. My grandfather was a preacher in the area of Louisiana for a long, long, long time. And so he was well known and well respected around the area. So the memorial was just excellent. So many people showed up, and it was more of, and this is one of those things only Christians can share in, right? That it became more, it's more of a celebration than it is a mourning. You know, we're sad. Obviously, there were tears, but ultimately, it was more of a celebration, knowing that he's in a place looking down on us, feeling sorry for us. And so, but he had Parkinson's that was getting progressively worse, and then on top of it, about 3 weeks ago, they found cancer had just eaten him up all over. And so it was one of those things where at the end of his life, this is kind of what I've been telling people, you know, we knew what was coming. And so our prayer shifted to God, just please take him quickly and take him peacefully. And God answered that prayer. And so thank you for your support and your prayers there in that time. And I'm so thankful to be back. I was telling the elders, we had a meeting yesterday morning. I was just telling the guys, I was like, man, I just can't wait to be here consistently. I feel like I've been traveling so much. And even on Sundays, a lot of times I'm still traveling on those Fridays and Saturdays, you know, to different places for different reasons and things. And so I've only got one more wedding upcoming, and then I'm here for good. So I am looking forward to that. I know Avery is too. She kept saying, man, we got to stop traveling so much. Amen. I hear you. So listen, Follow Me to New Heights is an incredible, incredible series because in Luke, the disciples looked to Jesus and they said that phrase. They said, Lord, increase our, do you remember? Faith. Lord, increase our faith. And Ricky, what's up, man? Good to see you. I'm sorry. I didn't expect that. Shocked me when I looked over there. Welcome home. So he was in the military and has been gone on some different things for a while, and now he's back with us. It's great to see you. Love you, brother. Shout out to you, man. Continuing. Wow, that really threw me for a loop. But no, Follow Me to New Heights. Lord, increase our faith, they said. And I don't think the disciples really knew what they were asking for in that moment. You know? I think that that's one of the things that we all feel. At least I hope you do. You're here for a reason, and hopefully your reason is to say, Lord, I want to follow you closer than I ever have before. Lord, increase my faith. Well, when you say that, get ready. Because an increase of faith comes with a whole lot of other things as well. And an increase of faith is not an easy thing for us to go through. But it's one of the most it is the most rewarding thing that you can have happen in your life, an opportunity for your faith to increase. The problem is that with increasing a faith, as we saw 2 weeks ago, if you remember our lesson on the eagle and how we can learn a lot about faith from the eagle, how we can increase our faith to new heights like the eagle does, the first step to learning to fly is to what? You got to fall first. Because through the fall, the baby eagle learns how to fly. But falling is never fun. And it's always scary. And it always brings up stress levels. It always brings up anxiety. It always brings up fear. But when you learn how to control all of that and give that over to your Father in heaven and trust in Him, you will see heights like you've never seen before. And you will see things from a new vantage point up in the clouds like you've never experienced. I pray that your faith will take you to a new atmosphere this year, that you'll be soaring in a place spiritually that you've never seen before. But first, it's going to take the fall. So are we ready? Then the disciples, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And when you think about their lives, did they have easy lives? When you look at the apostles, most of them were executed. Most of them were hung on crosses and beaten and flogged and persecuted. So when you say, Lord, increase your faith, it's not saying, Lord, give me an easy life. Right? Like most people, it's this prosperity gospel kind of thing. Like, Lord, I'm going to follow you because it's the easy way to go. And there's this song we sing, and I don't want to bash this song at all. Okay, because I love this song, and I'll sing it out just as loud as any of you. But sometimes I do get to thinking about it, and I wonder, do we have our views a little mixed up maybe? You know the song, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, right? Some of y'all are like, oh yeah, I'm getting, I love that song. I do too. And I'm still going to sing it just as much, but I don't want it to get confusing to think that, hey, God's just going to, you know, life is going to be, I'll have a little silver and a little gold, you know, and I'm going to be satisfied with just living the you know, mid-class kind of life here. And everything's going to be great because one day God's just going to give me all sorts of stuff. Look, faith is not about Christ bribing you into heaven. Heaven is more than the stuff that you receive. It's about being with the Father once again. It's about Adam and Eve in the garden, and they're able to literally hear God walking in the garden. Can you imagine hearing the footsteps of God and going, look, there he is. And literally being able to see the Lord. And that's what heaven's all about. It's a place where there'll be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more tears. And it's not because we'll have all the stuff we ever want. It's because we'll be with the perfect God for eternity. Wow, heaven is an amazing thing. And so I don't want it to be confused that faith is not this idea of saying it's a prosperity gospel kind of thing. No, because you're going to lose. You're going to have to fall before you fly. And there's going to be some stuff, not just physically. You may suffer physically. Some of you are like, I know all of what you're talking about. You know, I'm all into debt, David. I got you. You know? But it's more than that, right? Like there's emotional stresses. There's physical things that will happen to you. Look, spiritual warfare is real. Don't go around denying that spiritual warfare exists. I may not understand all of what that means, and you may not either, but we dare not deny the power of Satan, who's a roaring lion seeking for people to devour. There is spiritual warfare going on in our country and in our pews. And it's our job to have eyes to see this, to acknowledge it, and to look up to God and to say, God, increase my faith. Help me in this fight. And he'll take us to new heights. I got to get back to my lesson here. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar with wings like eagles. What an amazing promise this is, and it might not sound so amazing until you begin to study eagles more. We already learned how they learn to fly. Did you know that the mating process for an eagle is that they lock talons after they've flown up high, high above the clouds, and they'll lock their talons together in a free fall together. It's an incredible, incredible thing, and right before they get to the ground, they'll just separate. Beautiful experience, an amazing, amazing animal. Their wingspan can be up to 9 feet from one to the other. Incredible bird. And if you've ever seen one in flight, I told you about that 2 weeks ago. It's an incredible thing. The first time I ever saw an eagle, it just was jaw-dropping for me. Because when you see faith, I'm already doing my analogy there. When you see an eagle that's flying like that, man, it makes you go, wow. And you remember that while we marvel at Jesus all the time, don't we? God does things in our life and we go, wow, you're amazing. But there's two times in Scripture where God is amazed at us. And both times have to do with our what? It was with our faith. And it was one context was the centurion who comes back and he has such great faith to trust that God can heal his servant. From where he was, he said, no, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word and she'll be healed. And Jesus said, wow. The text says that Jesus was amazed. He was astonished that this man had such great faith. But then there's that other context where he goes to his own people and he begins to preach to them and they reject him. And they look at him and they say, this is just the carpenter's son. And they reject him. And it says that he was astonished. Wow. Can you believe they had such little faith? There's only two things that astonish Jesus that we can do, and it's all based on our faith. It's either how little faith we have or how much we have. So you're going to astonish Jesus with your faith, but which is it going to be? And that's your choice to make. And I pray that it's through like looking at the eagle and going, wow, it's because you're soaring to new heights and it's a beautiful sight to behold. I got to tell you, you've probably heard this story before. But it's about the guy and he's walking along the road and he sees this egg on the ground. And so he picks up, it's a big old egg, you know. He takes the egg back to his house and he's a farmer, so he's got a bunch of chickens out there. So he just puts the egg into the chicken coop. You ever heard this story before? It's an old legend, you know. And he takes the egg, puts it into the chicken coop. And one of the hens just starts to kind of sit on it and take care of it. And sure enough, it hatches. It's an eagle. And the eagle hatches, but hatches in a nest with a bunch of chickens. And so the eagle just starts to do what chickens do, right? Started to cluck and flap its wings, you know, and fly a few feet off the ground in a ruffle of feathers and cluck around and dig in the dirt and scratch in the dirt for worms and stuff like that. And it just lived its life being raised by a bunch of chickens. And then one day, this eagle, as he's an adult eagle now and is doing what chickens do and is, you know, probably, he's probably the best chicken there ever was, I would imagine, you know. And he's doing all the chicken things that chickens do. And one day he looks up and he sees way up high in the sky some beautiful, magnificent thing. And he looks to his neighbor chicken and says, "What is that?" And the chicken says, "Oh, that, my friend, that is the king of all birds. It's the most beautiful thing. That is an eagle." And we all love the eagle and wish that we could be like the eagle. But don't get your dreams up. You could never be like him. And so here's the story. The eagle never did. The eagle played the part of a chicken the rest of his life and died thinking that he was a chicken. That's how the story goes. What a great story, right? You know, I think that the saddest thing in life for us is not that we set the bar too high for success or faith and say, "God, I'm going to be the most faithful person." That's not even, you set the bar so high and you miss it. What's worse, missing the bar that's so high or setting a bar that's so low but you do reach it? You see, sometimes I think that's how we live our lives. We set the bar down here because this is obtainable. This is something I can get. You know, I'm going to have my job, and I'm going to have a couple of kids, and I'm going to go to work, and then I'm going to retire, and I'm just going to live my life peacefully, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to, you know, take communion every Sunday, and it's going to be great. And we set the bar here, and man, we attain that. But you know what I would rather see and what our God would rather see is us setting the bar so high and saying, "You know what? I'm going to make a difference in my world. I'm going to change the way that we think. I'm going to change the way that people do things. I'm going to soar to new heights and I'm going to fly higher than anyone has ever flown. God, help me to get there." And if we miss that bar, at least we set it up there. As a church, in the way that we think, in the way that we do our programs, in the way that we function, in the way that we reach out, in the way that we do our outreach, don't set the bar down here. That's not what faith is about. Faith is when you're going, "I don't know if we can do this." Faith is looking, can I give you an example? It's a bus payment where you're looking at it and you're going, "How are we going to be able to do this? You know what? No. We need to figure out another way. We need to wait for another year. No. Those kids need that now. Let's set the bar up here and see if we can attain it. Let's go a little higher and trust that God's going to provide." How does that look in your own spiritual life? How does that look in your job? Man, set the bar high. Shoot for the moon and say, "God, help me to get there." Because when the disciples and the apostles asked for the Lord to increase their faith, boy, did he ever. And when you look at the life of these ordinary, you remember the scriptures, don't you, in Acts? These plain old ordinary men, these Galileans, these unschooled people. How can they do the things that they were doing? They must have been with Jesus, because that's the only thing that makes sense. And when you ride with Jesus, when you fly with him, you'll fly farther than you ever have before. I love the promise. I love the promise that God is going to renew our strength and that we'll soar on wings like eagles. There's some things that we can learn from them. One is about how an eagle prepares for a storm. Did you know that they prepare for storms? And check this out. An eagle can sense a storm coming from a long way off. And when it realizes that this is going to be a pretty big storm, the eagle will fly up to a high place, maybe on a rock cliff or a high hill somewhere. And it'll just sit there and it'll wait on top of this cliff. And when the storm winds come in and start to blow, and it gets so windy, that eagle just spreads out its wings. And those storm winds take that eagle, and he uses the winds of the storm to fly higher than he could go on his own strength. And soon the eagle will fly so high that he is able to soar above the storm. And he's looking down on the storm, and there above the storm, he waits out that storm in the peace of a new atmosphere. And he's looking at the storm from a vantage point that many other people don't see. You think there's some application there for us? Use the storms in your life. Look, you look at your life and you say, I'm broken. I can't take this anymore. My family's crumbling. Things around me are falling apart, and they may be. And sometimes it may be because you've done something in your life or someone's done something to you that you had no control over. But whatever it is in your life, use that storm to fly higher. What man intended to harm me, what Satan intended to harm me, God intended for good. You see, Genesis, in the book of Genesis, in the story of Joseph, which was what our VBS was over, God took Joseph's situation, which, would you call it a storm? The man was thrown in the pit by his own brothers. You know, it's bad enough to be thrown into a pit, but it's worse whenever you're thrown there by people who were supposed to love you and take care of you the most. And some of you, you're in that kind of a storm. You're in that kind of a pit. You relate with Joseph. And you're going, how did I wind up here? But my encouragement to you, don't lose your faith. Spread out your wings. Fly to a high point. And use the storm winds. Use that moment to fly even higher. It's such a crazy thing. Jesus kind of flipped the thinking of the world upside down whenever he comes to us and he begins to tell us that storms will lift us higher. He looks at us and he says, count it all joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Are you kidding me? So when you look at God and you say, Lord, increase my faith, how's he going to give you that perseverance? How's he going to increase your faith? He's going to send you some storms in your life. He's going to send you some difficulty in your life. The question is, are you going to fly to a high place and allow it to take you even higher than ever before? Man, that's a hard thing to understand. That's easy to preach. It's hard to live. But when you can live it, when you can have that kind of faith, I'm telling you, I can't describe it to you. You only know if you've been there. You only know. Paul said it's the secret of contentment. Right? Paul's flying high, man. He's flying above the storm. And everybody else is looking down and they're seeing this huge storm that's coming in. They're saying, Paul, you're in prison. How can you have joy? And he says, because I've learned the secret of contentment. I use these storms to fly higher. While he's in prison, the dude's preaching the gospel to the prisoners and to the prison guards. He said, I'm using this storm. He's able to have a new vantage point and to see things in a different light because he has the faith of an eagle. It's really easy for us to face storms and to just get down into our nest. You know, all the other animals, they're going to run for shelter. They're going to run and hide from this thing. They're going to go to the nest. They're going to go to the cave. They're going to go to the hole. Not the eagle. The eagle's going to fly above it, man. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to a new height. Follow me to new heights. Lord, increase my faith. Look at your neighbor and say, today is my day. Oh, come on, look at your neighbor and say, today is my day. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm flying to new heights. I'm not staying on the ground anymore. I'm getting to a new atmosphere. Today is my day. Don't stay on the ground. Don't stay on the ground. It's time to go to a new place. And the only way to get there is by falling and flying to a high spot when you finally learn how to fly and wait for the storm to get here. The storm's coming. Storms are frequent, they're inevitable, and they're ferocious. But they're also the key to growing your faith to a new place. I know that's hard to understand, but you're tapping into something there. Jesus has got some kind of secret there, and he says, I want you to have life and have it to the full. He says, I'm the truth, and the truth will set you free. Like, he's got all these secrets, man, and he's saying, I'm gonna change your thinking. And next time you go through something difficult, are you going to cry? Absolutely. Are you going to shake? Are you going to be scared? You better be. Spiritual warfare is real, and Satan's real. I'm not saying that you walk around never scared. What I'm saying is you have faith to conquer that fear. You allow your faith to be bigger than that fear, and man, you're going to be soaring like you never believed. Not only that, I'm going to tell you one more thing. Check this out. Look at. I want you to turn here. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and look at verse 5. Psalm 103 and verse 5. I'm going to wait until Linda gets there. That way, oh, she's already there. No, never mind. I got to wait for somebody else. She knows her Bible too well. No, I'm kidding. If I pointed anyone else after that, right, you just feel terrible. No. All right, you there? Psalm 103, I want you to look at verse 5. Scripture tells you something else about the eagle right here. He says, well, let's start at verse 1. Go back. Psalm 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, and who redeems your life from the pit. Those of you who are stuck in that pit, and maybe you're there because of something you've done in your life, or maybe you're there because someone you loved put you there. Or those people who are supposed to have your brothers, your sisters, your family. I don't know what it is. But he says, no, I'll restore your life from the pit. And I'll crown you with love and compassion. Now listen to this. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like that of the eagle. He's going to renew your youth like that of the eagle. Now, how exciting is that, right? You with me? Some of you are there, and some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. What does that mean? Is it like the fountain of youth, you know? And I'm just going to go, you know, take this little drink, and I'm going to be young again? Is that what you're talking about? Some of you are like, I need that. No, that's not what it is. Look, birds, not just eagles, they go through what's called the molting process, right? Some of you have heard of that. They go through what's called the molt. And when an eagle goes through a molt, there's a legend. I'm not sure that it's true, but it makes such a great point. I'm going to share it with you anyway. But I'm going to tell you first what the molting process is for most birds. This is true for sure. And here it is. Most birds, that their feathers start to get worn out. Things start to just, they don't fly as well. Their feathers are all ruffled and bent. And so what they'll do is those old feathers, they'll pull them out, and new feathers will begin to replace them. And so birds literally go through this molting process, and they're renewed, but that there's this legend about the eagle, and it's going through its molting process. And what they say is that this eagle flies up to a high spot, a cliff or something like that. It gets to a safe spot, maybe a little cave. And there it begins its molting process. And what they say is that when the talons are all just cut up and broken, and the beak is all brittle, They say that the eagle would pull out all its feathers one by one until he pulled out everything. And then he would pull out his own talons one by one. Isn't that terrible? And then, as this legend goes, the eagle would take his beak and smash it on a rock until it was completely broken and shattered. And there he would wait. And he would wait, and he would wait, and he would wait, and soon the feathers would grow back, and the talons would grow back, and the beak would grow back, and it would all be stronger and more beautiful and amazing than ever before. And so God looks at you in this scripture, and he says, when you're in the pit, when you're in that situation in your life, and you're miserable, and you're hurting, some of you relate completely. Right? Some of you remember a time in your life where you were in the pit, and some of you are like, man, I'm there now, Nathan. I'm living in the pit. I don't know what it is for you, But everybody's got a pit. And they all stink. And every single one of you have either been in one, or are going to be in one. And the truth of this scripture is amazing, because he says, I'm going to redeem your life from the pit. And I'm going to crown you with love and compassion. No matter who you are or what you've done, he crowns you with love and compassion. It's not about you. It's all about him. Some of you look at it and say, there's no way you could love me. Paul looks at himself in Romans and he says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this body of death? But then he goes on. He doesn't stop there. See, the problem with us is that we stop there. We look at ourselves and say, I'm not worthy. I'm a wretched man. I've done wrong. I'm gross. I'm evil. I'm no good. Nobody could want me. But he says, but thanks be to Christ. Thanks be to Jesus, because through his blood, he's made you clean. And when God looks at you, Galatians tells us that when you're baptized into Christ Jesus, you're clothed with him. You're literally clothed with him. When you look at me, do you see my skin? That rhetorical question, but I want you to answer. Do you see my skin? No, what do you see? My clothes. And he says, when you're baptized into Christ Jesus, you're clothed with him. In other words, when Christ looks at you on the day of judgment, if you're baptized into him, he doesn't see your skin. He doesn't see you. He sees who? Christ Jesus in his perfection. Because of his grace and his mercy. And we look at ourselves and say, but I'm a wretched man. And he says, no, you're clothed with Jesus. You're perfect. Why, isn't that amazing grace? That's why we sing the songs, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. That's the beauty of grace. And in this molting process, I'm here to tell you, I don't know what you look like. But I imagine some of you may be struggling and you're in a pit right now, and some of you may be there because of your own self. And in that moment, I want you to look at your own life and I want you to say this prayer. God, renew me like the eagle. Renew my spirit. David in the Psalms, you remember it, don't you? His prayer that says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew my heart. Renew my youth like that of an eagle. When God promises you to renew your strength and to renew your youth like that of an eagle, man, he's promising you something amazing. I don't know if there's another promise as great as the promise of renewal. Because sometimes you may look at your faith and you may look at your life and you may feel defeated. And you may look at yourself and you say, I'm worthless. Look at what I've done. Look at who I am. And it's in those moments that the molting process spiritually needs to happen in your life, where you need to spread your wings and take flight from the winds of that storm and learn how to fly again. But storms are so furious and so ferocious that sometimes they just beat you down to a point where you've got to say the prayer, God, renew me. Restore my faith. I was so on fire for Christ. Everything was going so well. Maybe in the past I was just filthy and I was gross, but I was in a great place now. And my flame was burning, and this was just a forest fire. And now my faith has just dwindled down to this flame. You remember that song? I don't know if we sing it here. I haven't heard it yet. My eyes are dry. You know that? My faith is old, my heart is hard, and my prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be. I should be alive to you and dead to me, but what can be done with an old heart like mine? This is the prayer. Here it comes. Soften it up with oil and wine. And the oil is you, your spirit of love. So wash me anew in the wine of your blood. I love that song. And I don't like to sing that song every day, because not every day is my faith old and my heart hard, but when it is, it's a prayer for renewal. And God gives us the promise, I'm not just going to renew you, I'm going to renew you like the eagle. Isn't that awesome? When God promises that we're going to soar on wings like eagles, he's promising a lot of things. He's promising that we're going to learn to fly. And it may be hard because we're going to have to fall, but we're going to fly to new places. He also promises that he's going to send us above the storms. And it's going to be tough, and you're going to experience some rain. You're going to experience some high winds, and sometimes you're going to get caught in the middle of it. Avery and I were flying to Disney World recently. It was crazy. I've never experienced something like this. But as we were flying in, a storm built up where we were landing. And the pilot comes in and says, we're going to experience some heavy turbulence. There's a big storm, so everyone stay seated. Sorry, you're not going to get your drinks and things. You know, I need everybody to go sit down, including, you know, when all of a sudden your attendants are sitting down and buckling up, you know it's about to be a bumpy ride, right? And so we're all sitting here, and I'm going, oh, my word, it's night. And Avery and I are kind of looking around, and all of a sudden we look out our side window, and there's a storm right there. And, I mean, it's so close. I felt like I could just reach out and grab it. I can't describe this to you. We took a video of it on our phone because it was so incredible, but it doesn't do it justice. You know, it's one of those things. But, man, it was so close. And there was lightning just streaking all out of this storm, and we're freaking out kind of a little bit. You know, it's scary because you're just a little too close to that thing. But being able to see that storm up close and personal like that, there's just so much power. It's beautiful and powerful and scary all at the same time, you know? And that's the way you're going to begin to view the storms in your life. Is you're going to get up there in the clouds with this thing, and you're going to be hovering there, and you're like, man, that's powerful, and that's kind of scary, but it's beautiful, and it's magnificent. And people are going to look at you, and they say, are you crazy? Do you see what's going on in your life? And you're going to say, I'm looking at this from a new vantage point. Because my faith has taken me to a whole new level. Lord, increase our faith. And let me tell you what happens. Whenever you have faith that gets you to that kind of an altitude, this is what I'm going to end with right here. But when you fly that high, man, things die. There's this pilot, and he's flying, and he hears some scurrying around and things in his engine while he's up in the air, and it's just this kind of noises going on. And he's like, "What in the world is that?" And he started to kind of get panicked because he knew it wasn't normal. So something's different, and I'm way up high in the sky, you know. And planes scare me enough anyway, so I imagine, you know, if he's like me, he's freaking out. And what is that? And he realizes, I think that's a rat that's in my engine and is starting to chew up some cords. And he starts to get panicked, and he goes, if this rat cuts the right wire, I'm going to lose control, and I'm going to crash. And so he starts to think about what he's going to do, and he's looking for a place to land, and he's radioing in, and they're saying, you better land now. And so he's getting ready to do this emergency landing, and he's so scared because he's going, there's, you know, I'm going to have to find this place and land and all this, and that's so much time for this rat to do damage. So instead, you know what he does? He lifts that plane up higher. And he just starts to go higher and higher and higher. And eventually he reached an altitude, and all of a sudden the gnawing stopped. He didn't hear anything else. He lands later, and sure enough, the rat was chewing up some very important wires, but that rat was dead because that rat couldn't survive at an altitude that was that high. Let me tell you something. When you have faith that takes you that high, the rats in your life, the sin in your life, the junk that you're dealing with, the stuff that you're struggling with, it can't survive at that height. The solution to battling sin in your life is not to get so low and crouch down and run into a hole and hide and say, I hope I don't get rained on. I hope I don't get hailed on. And by the way, we need that a lot because apparently we get hail here all the time. I don't know what's going on with that. But the solution spiritually in your life when you're facing those storms is not to cower down and to hide from it. The solution is to turn that plane up higher, to say, I'm going higher than this because there's no way that Satan can survive when my faith is up here. There's no way that he can do any damage to me. This plane's not going down. This plane's going up. And I'm telling you, when you have that kind of faith, only great things are going to happen in your life. Don't set the bar down here and reach it. Set the bar so high and say, I don't know if I can, but I'm going to give it everything I've got to try to attain that. Follow me to new heights. I hope your prayer is the same as that of the apostles that says, Lord, increase our faith. I don't know where you are. I don't know where your faith is at. It's not something I can do. God's the one who tests the hearts. But what I do know is that every single one of you have been in a pit or are in one now or will be in one soon because Scripture tells me that, right? Scripture tells me that life is hard and it's full of trouble. Job says, man is few of days and full of trouble. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But there's that promise to take courage because what? I've already overcome the world. The victory is already yours. You just got to fly high enough to attain it. And so my challenge to you is this. If you're struggling, if you're there and you're going, man, I relate to that old song, you know, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold. If your faith is just this little flame and it used to be big, I don't know where you are in your life, but I'm going to pray that you don't walk out of here without tapping into the strength that God promises to us, which is to help us to soar on wings like eagles. What an amazing promise it is. If you need anything, won't you come? While together we stand and sing.